Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, pastor at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We would like to invite you to our Sunday worship services here in Escondido at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You can find us on the web at escondidourc.org. escondidourc.org. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Are you in a place of hardship, suffering, or trial? Do you feel abandoned by God? Christians often go through these things and are confused as to whether God is really with them and loves them. We're going to consider this great subject today on Abounding Grace Radio. Stay tuned.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. He called it a messenger of Satan to torment him. We're going to look at this great passage today from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to help us understand all of the trials, afflictions, and things that happen to us in this life, how we are to make it through them, what is to be the perspective, and what does it mean when Christ says, I have grace for you. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Visit us on the web at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Here is now part one of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which I have titled, The Day You Really Begin to Live. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Well, we go through life evaluating its quality based on the principle of strength. Strength. In fact, we're all trying to achieve human strength in its most valued form as society defines it. And since we evaluate life this way, since it's all about strength and outward glory, we have a certain kind of perspective and a certain kind of view of the bad things that happen to who we perceive are weak people. Weak people. The things that we see as weakness make the strong people feel better about themselves. It's just a common reality that we all know. We're always trying to show ourselves strong. Whatever faults we have, we cover that up the best that we can. It's our way to make ourselves appear before people as together, poised, overall strong in mind and body. That's what we want people to see about us. A picture-perfect life we're all trying to create. You know that. No dust on the shelves. Everything looks good. Can't have anything go wrong. It's what society values, isn't it? Of course it is. Because this is so common, because this is a natural way of looking at people's plots in life, when we look at weakness and struggle and hardship, weaknesses, we begin to define things this way. What do I mean? The strong look at the weak as a less of a person, as less of a person. The poor are given the least of seats. You know how much attention the Bible gives to this. Weakness, in our view, puts a question mark on legitimacy. Weakness, in our view, puts a question mark on legitimacy. That is essentially the issue that we're dealing with here this morning, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and what Paul is dealing with. Paul's purpose in this particular passage is to explain something that he learned about life. Explain something that the church in Corinth was not understanding or not appreciating, something he had to make very clear to them. That there was a way that he found real meaning in life. The day that he finally, as I reflected in the title, the day that he finally learned to live with a new perspective. Now, in light of what he knew and understood and had experienced in light of human weakness, something that will lead him, by the end of our text this morning to say every expression of human weakness, did you notice this, became a pathway now and a privilege for him of true happiness and boasting. How do you get there? How do you have that complete shift? In fact, what he is about to do for us in this particular passage is explain his greatest disability as an apostle. He didn't have disability insurance. Did you know that? I do. He didn't. He wanted to help us understand and help Christians understand that it was precisely in his disability and humiliation that he experienced the highest exaltation. And this should be immensely helpful for us this morning, for if we're Christians, it's God's purpose, and this is so important. It's God's purpose for us that at some point in the course of your life, he is going to show his strength in you through some form of weakness. He's going to do it. Some form of hardship that he's going to have for you. And you need to understand that. Because if you don't understand that, how easy it is to be derailed and confused and perplexed when these things happen. We need to learn that when things come upon us suddenly, when things happen that are unexpected, we have to have a way of going forward and a different way of looking at things, how they have happened to us, what has happened to us, and what is God's answer to us in the midst of this. And that's what this passage helps us to do this morning. It helps to have a little bit of context here in 2 Corinthians to see what was going on with Paul to have to explain this problem that we get to in chapter or verses 7 through 10 about the thorn in the flesh. Paul was under heavy assault as a pastor in 2 Corinthians by what he calls and designates as super apostles. It's a jab. He's calling them in jest and saying, these are the real powerful super apostles that everyone likes. He's mentioned them as in chapter 11, of course, and referenced and reminded the church in Corinth, because they were caught up with all these guys. He reminded the church in Corinth that Satan has ministers in churches, in Christian churches. Did you know that? You don't think about that. We don't think about that. They come as angels of light. Demons, if you will, working powerfully behind the scenes and working in men to accomplish Satan's purposes. Their followers, of course, get attracted to all the wrong things, don't they? Their outward things, the strong things, the strength is the word I want to focus on here for a little bit this morning, the strong versus weak things. He had already said, I'm not inferior to these guys. I'm not. Listen, I'm going to boast. I know I'm going to sound like a madman, but I'm doing this on purpose. I'm boasting because I'm not inferior to these guys. I'll tell you where my boast is in a minute, he'll say. Even though I'm untrained in speech, yeah, I don't have the great wow factor when it comes to speaking. They were calling into question his legitimacy of his apostleship. And they were doing things that had the biggest and the best and the greatest of draws for people. They wowed people with their speech. They did things that nobody else was doing in the name of ministry. And of course, as you all know to this day, you know what that stuff does. You can get great followings doing this. Now, you can get followings about doing anything today. They looked at Paul and they said, what a joke. He was constantly under assault. It's with this background that he's explaining to the Christian church what they couldn't just seem to appreciate, what they had a hard time getting their minds around and understanding. Namely, Paul, your whole ministry is shrouded with conflict. It has nothing but hardship. It has affliction. What surrounds you is weakness. People don't speak well of you. Did you know that? We met a guy named Alexander the Coppersmith. He trashes you everywhere. They're spewing out all kinds of things about you, Paul. It's really hard for us to understand. I mean, we hear your message, but the opposition surrounding your ministry, the hatred for you, the people speaking against you, it does kind of raise a question mark, Paul. The lack of outward draw. the power, all the things you could be doing. You're not. Are you really sent? Are you really an apostle? This is behind this epistle. This is what they're questioning about him. These other guys are more effective. And we've heard about all the powerful signs and wonders of the apostles. As time went on, that was not the focus of the apostolic ministry. They wanted it through preaching. They wanted it through preaching the gospel. We're not seeing all those powerful signs anymore. Now you understand, perception then is important here. We all struggle with perception, don't we? We're worried about perception. We live in fear constantly of perception. If I ask, aren't you incessantly worried about how the Escondido URC is viewed out these doors? And so we worry about that. It's really important, isn't it? Perception. Sometimes raises, when it's in question and the perception is not good in common eyes, it raises to the question in forefront in people's minds a question of authenticity, or you might even say genuineness or legitimacy. And if you're involved in something that you're just there, you're just doing, but there's always in the back of the mind a question mark of legitimacy or a question mark of authenticity. All these things that challenge us, it has the effect of holding us back, doesn't it? Of course it does. You'll never really be able to believe what you're doing is true, because you've got to come to a realization if what you're doing in the Christian church is true or not. And if it is, you're going to give 100%. If the question of legitimacy is not there, you're going to hold back and be nothing but a pew sitter. Well, how much more of the calling of a pastor? You got to know, don't you? You got to know in your mind and be convinced God sent you. You're not going to give a lot to this, or you're going to do whatever you want to do. Well, what Paul is doing in this particular section is working hard to change their entire perspective about ministry and about him. And you'll notice he says in verse 1, it's not profitable for me to boast. This is verse 1, I must go on boasting, and he'll go on and say, though there really is nothing to be gained by it. What in the world is going on here in this first particular section? We'll follow it here for a minute, and I think it'll all become clear for you. I knew a man 14 years ago in Christ, in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. This man was caught up into the third heaven. He saw things that were inexpressible with words. He went up into paradise. Who's he talking about? Him. Him. Paul was brought up into paradise. He saw the glory. He saw heaven. He saw things, he says, that were inexpressible with words. Now, what would the super apostles have done with that? Well, they'd have written a book of how they went up into heaven and came back and sold millions of copies, right? And people would buy that book and talk about that book and study. Oh, whoa, that just happened, didn't it? A few of you have read it. You see, this is what super apostles do with this stuff. Every false teacher, what they've ever done is claim something great. They went up into heaven. Benny Hinn claimed that. He saw God, talked with God. Boy, he got thousands and thousands and thousands of followers from that. Drums up an amazing response. Something real. There it is, legitimate, right there. That guy went to heaven. And people flock to this. They can legitimize themselves with what? Greatness. They can legitimize themselves with greatness. If God is real, why doesn't he do that stuff for us more? Why doesn't he make this a little more valid for us, at least so that we can really believe that what we're a part of is genuine? Why doesn't he give us dreams and visions? And Paul is saying, well, guess what? It happened to me. I got one. I went up. He was an apostle. It had all kinds of extraordinary benefits at the beginning. And Paul says up front, oh, I could boast about this. I could tell you all about this to legitimize myself. I could tell you all about the details. But this stuff really was inexpressible with words. Even if I did and tried to, I couldn't. But he says, that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to refrain from all that. Why? So I have been there. I could testify to that. But I refrain, verse 5, lest anyone should start to think of me above what he sees me to be. Carrying around a jar of clay, aren't I? You'll say. In other words, if I start running around telling you about all my visions in paradise, what's going to happen? You're going to start getting a wrong understanding of what our calling is, and you're going to start getting a wrong understanding of what ministry is, and you're going to start exalting me. And that's all wrong. How much following of men do we have today? How much do we look at things outwardly in the church and say, ah, that's it. That's where it's happening. It's got to be. There's so much going on there. The man up front is something. And it's here Paul says, you need to look at things differently. What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Remember that principle from our study in the churches of Revelation? As a matter of fact, the very church tonight, God says, you have a name to the church in Sardis, but I want you to know something, you're dead. That's not a letter you want to get, do you? You got a great name to the world and the community, but before heaven, you're dead. Man looks outward, the Lord looks at the heart. So let me tell you a story so that you'll look at Christian ministry a little bit differently. Let me tell you a story, says Paul. I'm going to use myself now, your pastor. Here you go. To keep me, and by the way, the real over-pious line that says we should never talk about ourselves is ridiculous. Paul does it constantly. He uses the example of himself. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited, humble, keep me humble. This was who? This was the great apostle Paul. Can you imagine how much the man needed to do this ministry? You know the stress this guy was under? That's why I read chapter 11. Did you hear that? None of you have been through that. In danger of the sea, in danger, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food. Who's here been without food? Cold and exposure. And apart from these things, I'm always in full anxiety about the church. Because God put this in me. Paul turns the tables on himself. He's explaining to them that what they see as weakness, marking a question of authenticity, is actually, in fact, something from God. It was actually an indication that it was from God. I've given everything. I was given everything, says Paul. I was given visions and dreams, and I saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. But with all of this, you know what the Lord actually did? He kept me really humble. Because all of these special revelations, all these things that God was doing, all these gifts that God gave me, you know what he did? He gave me a thorn in the flesh. The way he describes this thorn in the flesh is absolutely remarkable, isn't it? It's something to think about here. To keep me from becoming conceited, he gives me this thorn in the flesh. It literally means a stake in the flesh. He goes on to say, whatever it was, behind it was direct demonic activity. Satan was involved with it. It was something that was constantly harassing him. It was something that would never, it was relentless in his life. It did not let up. The history of speculation as to precisely what this is fascinating. It's fun to read. You have mentioned everything from a headache to an earache to Roman Catholics believing it was a perverse sexual sin. Other believes it was eye problems. Others believed it was persecution. At one point, he would even say, Satan was directly hindering him from going to Thessalonica. And that's true. Opposition in the ministry, as I was beginning to think about this a little bit, that may be on track. That opposition in the ministry he was facing, opposition for pastors is the greatest discouragement. People have no clue. It has the effect of souring the whole work. And again, because strong opposition affects so many people, perception. You're always living under this problem of perception, and you got to live with that. In times of opposition, it's hard. It's ugly. It's nasty. Here's the point. Paul is saying, I was given something that rendered my body helpless. Huh. You ever had something that absolutely renders your body helpless? That sets you back? Sets back life, sets back work, sets back your ability to do things. There's a reason it's not specific. If we get too specific as pastors, I agree, we lose what's supposed to be taken in something like this and applied. If you stay with the context, you get it. The whole ministry was shrouded under the charge and the question mark of legitimacy because of a lack of power. A lack of human strength, a lack of speech, a lack of glory, a lack. And Paul just said, guess what? You're right. You know why? Because I was given a thorn in the flesh. And that's made everything really hard. I know it's had the effect, says Paul, of making you look at me as weak. Isn't that our problem? Now you see how important this all is this morning, for we look at people with whatever weakness has come upon them, and if you're strong and you're healthy and you got it all together and you're trying to achieve the picture-perfect life, you're going to look at weakness that comes upon people, and the tendency is, we would never say it, but the natural tendency is to think of that person as something less. Something's wrong. It's something I don't have to deal with. It's something I don't have to think about. The person right in front of me in the wheelchair. It was Job, wasn't it? One day he lost everything, his money, his children, everything you're holding on tight to, his health, money, children, health. I can't snap. Gone. And that plight in life, that sudden change, turned him upside down. And now everyone who had viewed him as strong now views him and has all their assessments of his plight. And no doubt, what they were doing was looking for reasons either to explain away or ignore the plight of the weak. That's what we do. This thorn in the flesh represented every kind of backwards thing that happens to us that makes absolutely no sense, where one would seem to say, God has abandoned that person. God has left that person. Notice how opposite that is of every kind of false teacher in the world that says, if you have faith, then you'll be blessed with this kind of life. This thorn in the flesh can rip apart families. This thorn in the flesh can come in the day when you hear all of a sudden you got cancer. And this thorn in the flesh is the conflict that has come upon you that has soured everything. You know the feeling in your gut? You're now helpless. You're helpless. And you stand back with now the pain of perception. How's everyone looking at this? I don't want anyone to know about this. Don't we do that? We had life all mapped. I don't want anyone knowing about this. Close it down. You see? The strong, of course, sit there with the good life. Holding up the glass of wine. There goes the person. You ever seen a strong man hit who becomes nothing? Person's done. Is he?
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, pastor at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We would like to invite you to our Sunday worship services here in Escondido at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You can find us on the web at escondidourc.org. Escondidourc.org. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio.